Yo, welcome to this episode of Saintly Witnesses. Another episode dropping this week. Good to have great guests who are doing great things in the world. Change agents in all ways, shapes and forms. This week I got somebody super talented. He's going to come on and share a little bit about the art of public speaking. I got DeAndre Lacey on. He's going to come on and give his career as a public speaker, motivational speaker, and just share some of this crucial wisdom that he gives the audiences. So thank you for coming and joining and sharing the information with us.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm excited to be on. I'm excited for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So let's get started with the conversation, man. I guess if I was involved or looking through like fly on the wall, my first question would obviously be, how did you get into public speaking? Was it like a spark that like ignited within you, or was it people influencing you? How did you start that process?
That's a great question. How did I get into public speaking? Well, first of all, I'm a third generation minister. My grandfather was the one who kicked it off. And then the next generation of my grandmother is in ministry. And then my aunt, my uncle and my father are all ministers. So that's what I grew up in, the Baptist church, watching them do their thing. And I heard a wise man once said, if you hang around preachers long enough, you might start preaching yourself. So around the age of 21, I was involved in college in a thing called BSM, Baptist Student Ministry. And I remember we ended up going to this mission trip to Jamaica. And while I was out there, we were out serving, doing missions. And I noticed in the churches we would visit, it was always the women who were the leaders, the women doing everything. It was hard to see men. And I began to reflect on that. But then when I stepped back, I realized that it's really no different in America. And it was during that trip that I had already felt the tug at different times in my life, but for different reasons, I thought, oh, people would tell me you're going to be a minister one day, or I see you being a preacher or a pastor. But because I would have been the third generation, I always looked at it as people just saying it because, oh, well, you know, my dad preached, or my aunt and my uncle and my grandfather. So you're just saying that because I'm in their lineage. But it was that time when it was very clear. So that was in July, June. And I came back and told my pastor, and I wrestled with, when he left it kind of up to me to pick my first date for my sermon, and I was kind of wrestling, making sure I was sure. But a mentor of mine, shout out to Pastor Russell, he was like, didn't you say, you know, you accept the call? He was like, when your first sermon? He like, go ahead, just pick a date, man. I picked that date, and December of 2014, I preached my first sermon. I've been preaching since. And then recently, I've been working more on expanding my opportunities outside of the walls of the church, but that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. That's a dynamic story. Didn't even know you went to Jamaica, so that must have been like a transformative experience right there in itself.
It was.
Okay, cool. So a big part of your work with like speaking with audiences and churches or whoever just books you has to do with like empowerment and inspiring other people.
Yeah.
You kind of touched on like you being a minister and having like that biblical foundation. So I'm wondering, where does your strength come from to do this type of work, to get in front of people and sort of like persuade them to live out their best version of themselves?
You know, that's a great question. Where does my strength come from to empower people? Truly, apart from God, I'm nothing. It's God working through me, and the burning desire to just see people fulfilled in life, because I know that many of our vices are from us trying to fill the hole that only God can fill, and only ultimately our purpose in life. And our purpose in life is to bring God glory and to spread the gospel, but He also has a specific mission for each one of us, and specifically how we're going to carry that out. And I know that a lot of people live their life looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to their next vacation, just trying to build a life there. They're trying to escape their life. And one thing I like to say is, we don't live to escape a life we hate. We build a life that we can't wait to wake up and experience. I believe every single person who is born has a purpose. If you just think about conception and how hard it is for a woman to conceive a child and get pregnant and go all the way through that process and all the challenges, I just ask people, do you really think that you made it through all of that process? Billions of cells fighting for one egg. You were the one that made it all the way through. Do you really think you were here for an accident? So every time I wake up and I realize there are people out there that think they're an accident, that think that their life doesn't have purpose, it drives me to want to spread this message so more people can wake up fulfilled knowing that they're here for a reason.
That's good, man. A purpose-driven life, sort of, is what you're trying to instill with them.
Yeah, for sure.
So in this type of work that you do, with audiences and speaking to people, what's some of the big things you want people to walk away from after they hear from you? I guess it depends on like the venue or the setting, or is it just a universal thing that you want people to walk away from after they heard you, like, give empowerment to them?
The main thing that I've already touched on is that everyone has a purpose. You are not an accident. That's one thing I want them to walk away with. But in addition to that, I wrote a book entitled "Find Out of the Ashes, Finding the Purpose in Your Pain." And one of my sayings is, your pain has a purpose. Your pain is a compass to your destiny. So one thing that I want people to walk away with knowing is that all the things that they think disqualify them, all the pain they went through, all the trauma that they've been through, all the different things that they've been through, are the very things that are going to point them in the direction that they need to go. For example, myself, dealing with a parent that has bipolar disorder, witnessing my dad who is dealing with that almost take my mom's life, dealing with social anxiety, battling and experiencing PTSD, depression, being at one point in my life where I used to go to sleep and pray to God, please just let me stay asleep because I don't want to wake up and deal with the life I'm dealing with. So to go from that to where I am currently, it's about spreading that message that your pain is going to point you in the direction that your life is going to go through. Your pain is going to point you to your purpose. So all those things I went through wasn't for nothing. I'm recycling that pain to help other people who are in a similar situation. So I want people to know that their pain has a purpose, that everything that they've gone through, there's no wasted experience, that God is going to use it all to get the glory out of their life.
Yeah, I like the idea of recycling pain to give hope and inspiration to other people. Definitely powerful. So I would imagine you already touched on one of the people who was a pivotal player in your formation as a speaker and minister, your old pastor. So I'm wondering who else has influenced you in this journey to become like a speaker?
Great question. The people who've influenced me, obviously, like I've already touched on, my grandfather for being the first person in our family to get into ministry and opening and blazing that trail. And obviously my uncle, my father, and people of that nature that came behind him. But outside of my family, I'm very inspired by Dr. Eric Thomas. Shout out to Dr. Eric Thomas, whose saying is, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I remember coming across him in 2010 when he had this grainy video and he was just starting to take off, and to see where he is now, a multimillionaire pastor, and just the journey from being homeless to now having a PhD to being a high school dropout. So I've always admired him. He is, you know, a hero in this space and someone I admire a lot.
Cool, man. Definitely somebody to research and see what type of empowerment and content they have. So definitely a good reference. So you kind of touched on the book that you published in the previous question, and you skipped over it and touched on it a little bit. So I want to hear a little bit more about it. So you published the book, Out of the Ashes, Finding Purpose in Your Pain. Talk a little bit about what influenced you to write that and what were some of the intended outcomes you wanted people who read it to walk away from, major themes.
So one of the things that influenced me to write that was we were going through COVID, and during that time, our church formats changed due to what was going on. And so we began doing more online things where only the leaders would come, and we changed the format of our service. And something we did for a little while at my former church was we began interviewing people prior to service. And one of the people we invited was actually a lady from my hometown of Palestine, Texas. Shout out to Rachel B. Foy. She had just put a book out. This was 2020. And I was the one actually who got to interview her on stage. And so after interviewing her, hearing how her journey went as far as her writing her book and things of that nature, I began to say, you know what? I want to write a book. And I had already been sending text messages to people with scriptures, and everybody in my family was like, you need to write a book. You need to put these devotionals into a book. But I was like, nah, that's not it. Like, if I write a book, nothing wrong with devotionals, not knocking anybody that does that, but I just want something other than a devotional. And so when I came across her and we had that conversation, shout out to Valerie McDowell, my book coach. Once I got the contract with the book coach, it was on from there. And I kind of had somewhat of an idea what I wanted. I put the outline together. My coach helped me. And several months later, the book came out. But I had always been a writer. I had always been a poet. But, you know, growing up, I didn't necessarily see those as gifts or something that really could make an impact. But as I grew, I began to see the power of words, the power of writing, and how putting your story on paper can really be a powerful tool and a thing you can use. And so that pivotal moment was meeting Rachel and seeing somebody that was from exactly where I was from, a small town, and seeing that she could do it was just the last thing I needed to go ahead and do it myself.
That's good, man. I love the inspiration behind the book and how people, God put people in your life to help influence the creation of the book. So what were some of like the contents within the book and some of the chapters and the things that you discussed? I know you kind of already touched on like a major adverse childhood experience with having a parent with a significant major mental health disorder. And so what's some other stuff that's within the book contents?
So the book is in three major parts. There's a total of 10 chapters, including the conclusion. And in the book, it's a theme around the life cycle of a phoenix. A phoenix burns itself up, turns to a pile of ashes, and then out of those ashes, it is reborn. So part one is called the fire, because that's the point where the phoenix destroys itself in the fire. And the first three chapters are, you are not an accident, embrace your origins and remove the labels. I wanted to start with you're not an accident because, like I stated earlier, there are so many people in their life that truly believe that they are an accident. They think their life doesn't matter. They think that they're just here by chance. And by starting with that, I laid a foundation to them realizing that their life has significance. And then part two is the ashes. Hold on to your hope, mourn your innocence, and address the addiction, to speak metaphorically, but literally in your life. And then the last part, part three, is the rebirth. And how are you reborn in your life? Obviously, spiritually, we're reborn when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But in a different sense, we're reborn when we take ownership of our life. We challenge the BS meaning the belief systems, and then we live in our purpose. And so those are just a quick overview, but each one of those chapters could just be its own focal point, because those are non-critical things I believe we need to address as it relates to our life.
You said challenge the BS. I was like,
it's a double entendre. It's to get people's attention.
But yeah, it means beliefs.
Yeah.
That's clever. I like that. So my last question I want to ask you is, you went through your own pathway of like self-discovery, self-awareness, self-evaluation, healing and recovery. Maybe some therapy was involved in that too. God positioned you and with people in your life to help you understand how to make sense of your past and all that good stuff. So I'm wondering, in your own journey of self-discovery and healing, how have you used like the wisdom that you've obtained to help empower other people?
Well, what I've learned is the first thing is you need safety. I'm a big proponent of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And what it talks about is the foundation to self-discovery is safety. If you're in an environment where mentally, physically, spiritually, or all three, you don't feel safe, you're not going to have the mental capacity to evaluate, to be reflective, to be all of the things you need to be that you need to do to go on that journey of a self-discovery and healing. And so by my uncle taking me in at the time he did in my life, he took me out of an environment at the time that I didn't feel safe in and put me in an environment where I could feel safe. And because of that, I could step back and realize, man, you're depressed. Man, you are this, you're that. You're dealing with anxiety. When you're in the middle of it, it's consuming you so much, you can't see yourself. You can't see how depressed you look to other people. And so once you've established safety, you spoke on therapy. I didn't even go to therapy until I was a married adult. And I went through a traumatic experience and never processed it. And people think trauma is some complicated thing, but all trauma is unprocessed emotion. So a traumatic experience is something that happened to you that caused different emotions that you never had or created the opportunity to process. So what I've learned is journaling is very helpful, because a lot of us, we want to outthink negative thinking, but you can't beat thoughts with more thoughts. It's like trying to put out a fire with a fire. That's one of the things I say in my book. You have to do something outside of the realm of your struggle, in my opinion. So if you're struggling with thoughts, you need action. You need to take a walk. You need to journal. You need to speak. You need to write. You need to do something other than thinking, because you're not going to think your way out of negative thinking. So journaling helps. Affirmations help me, because you're training yourself to address your insecurities, and you're audibly doing it instead of being inside of your head. One of the biggest struggles for me is just overthinking, being in my head, anxiety, and writing, and then being able to step back and analyze what I had on the paper. I've done breath work before. That's definitely helped. And obviously my relationship with Christ and applying the scriptures, but all of these are tools. And a good therapist doesn't want to become a crutch. They want you to equip yourself to be able to eventually do these things for yourself. So if you never are able to leave therapy, and there's nothing wrong with once you've gone through therapy to go back and to go and get touch points, but a good therapist wants to equip you with the tools to where you become an independent person that's able to process your emotions. And it doesn't mean you never will go back or you'll never use it again, but it's not a crutch. It's to equip you to be able to self-regulate. But the main thing is, if you're in a toxic relationship, if you're in a toxic environment, no amount of therapy is going to really be able to help you to a certain extent, because you're in that environment. So I would tell people, if there's any way you could create a peace in the environment you're in or remove yourself, that is a critical component. And then, you know, go from there. But obviously me at the time being a kid, or some people are in situations where they may not be able to do that. But that's definitely, I would start with that. Feel that safety is important.
Yeah, man, you touched on a lot of good parts of like how you and your pathway to self-discovery and healing help you share hope and inspiration with other people. And I think that's a part of like going back to be an ambassador for Christ, you know, just being a life-giving agent. It's about displaying and conveying mercy to others and walking compassionately with them, but also giving them the necessary tools and resources they need. Any last things you want to say before we close, man?
I guess what I want to close with is what I said earlier, in the sense that, one, anybody that's listening to this, I just want to encourage you that you are not an accident, that you may have been abused, you may have sinned, you may have gone through different things, but you're truly here for a reason. Number two, I would tell them that to seek any help that you feel you need, whether it's therapy, whether it's family, whether it's friends, no man is an island. And the third thing I would tell them is do whatever it takes, therapy, healing, working out, whatever it takes to get you to a place where you're in a point where you can pursue your purpose, because peace can only be found in the present. So worry is about us imagining bad outcomes for the future, and anger and hurt and all these things are us harboring bitterness about the past, but peace can only be found in the present. And the last thing I want to say is don't go through life building a life that you have to use drugs, sex, different things to escape. Build a life that you cannot wait to wake up and experience. Because most of our vices, most of our sins are caused by us trying to escape some type of negative emotion. And if we go through the therapy, we go through the process of developing ourselves, then we can begin to build a life that we cannot wait to wake up and experience. And that's what I want for everybody who may be listening.
Yeah, that's a good point too. You know, finding your purpose and finding a pathway that puts you on a path to peace. That's a good point to end with. I definitely appreciate you coming on and sharing all this crucial information. Definitely learned a lot more about the nature of public speaking and like your whole role as an influencer for so many people who come book you. I think you do a phenomenal job equipping crowds and audiences with the necessary skills they need to have hope and to live an authentic life of purpose and meaning. And may the listeners keep you in prayer, and I will keep praying for the work that you do so they continue to sow seeds of righteousness and just seeds of prosperity for those who need to hear that message that you bring to people. So thank you.
Man, I appreciate you for having me. And like you stated earlier, I speak in a church setting. I speak to schools. I've been in prisons. I can speak at the conference level. If there's anybody that ever needs public speaking, you can go to my website, djlinspires.com, djlinspires, djlinspires.com. And you can go through and see some of my videos, see some of my previous work. You can click a link and inquire about booking me. And I love coming out, whether it's inside the church, whether it's outside the church, at a school, a university, and just sharing the message of hope and inspiring people, because we all need that from time to time.
Yeah, you're not bound by no churches, man. You go anywhere.
I'll pull up anywhere.
The great commission.
For sure. I'll pull up anywhere.
Yeah. Just get them there. Just book them. Well, you continue the work that you do, man, and may the listeners pray for you. And you guys can tune in to the next episode.